Hallelujah. Just give me the word. You believe that's what we've been given in this day?
Amen.
We've been given the word. Praise the Lord. Stand with me now, brother, sister. Let's have our pastor come. Give us the word of life. Give us the word, brother.
Amen.
Go get him.
Hallelujah. Amen. I bless you this day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I mean, enjoyed the song service.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. You know, if we were trying to impress the world and Hollywood, they wouldn't even stop down on the street and just look this way. But you know what? We're not trying to impress them. We know where they're headed, where that kind of program is heading, but we know that the one who matters, he definitely looks our way. So we get situated here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Just want to remember those that are away today that the Lord would bless them. And like Brother Elijah prayed, to bring them home safely again. Amen. We believe he will do that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and open to St. John chapter 15. While I'm thinking about it, I want to say that this next Saturday night would normally be our Bible study night, but we will not be having Bible study because there's going to be the special meetings there in Fort Smith, and I know that several of us want to be in some of those meetings, so we will not be having Bible study Saturday night. But we will resume next month. Amen?
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Okay, if it's not, you can just take your shoe off and throw it at me, and I'll understand that we'll reinstate it. Amen. You know, it's good to be Christians. It's good to have a church family.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be able to, as you would say, just let your hair down and just relax and be yourself.
Amen.
You know,
right.
That's what we are. So, amen. St. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. Jesus speaking says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." So he's told us to love one another, and he says, here's real love, is that's love where people would lay down their life for their friends.
Yes. Amen.
He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So there's an obedience to the word there that's in there. He says, henceforth, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you."
Yes, amen.
"And ye have not chosen me," praise God, "but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it." Then I want to read from Galatians chapter 4, and then we'll read Revelation chapter 3. Galatians 4, verse 1 and 2. She'll have it up here. Paul speaking, saying, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne."
Yes.
"He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches."
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, of your presence. Lord, that you have called us to virtue and glory, your virtue and glory, Lord, to be partakers of your holiness. And Lord, to be able to live and express eternal life to this generation. We love you, Lord, and we are gathered here today in your name. And we're asking, God, that you would meet every heart. Lord, you'd speak your word as the brothers sung.
Yes.
Give us your word today, Lord,
yes,
that we may have strength thereby. Lord, may it be clear to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. The title of this today, What Does It Take to Sit on His Throne? It's a good question. What does it take to sit on His throne? Amen. How many are expecting God to fail? Anybody want to raise your hand?
No.
No?
God can't fail.
Amen. We're not expecting Him to fail.
No.
So that means we can take Him by His word, right?
Right. Exactly.
Amen. He means what He says, and as the prophet said, He is the interpreter of His own word, and the way He interprets by bringing it to pass. And so we don't expect God to fail. And so we need to act like we believe that.
Yeah.
And that is to take Him at His word. And I believe that we can do that as believers. I know that the fight, especially in this end time, is to keep us from that. But we know the end of the book, and we know who won, and we know that we are winners, and we stay with Him. So when we say, what does it take to sit on His throne, we already have the answer. The scripture told us that Him that overcometh the Laodicean age. Because that was the age it was speaking to there. Him that overcometh the Laodicean age and everything that pertained to Laodicea. You realize it as the prophet come along and he gave us the phrase Satan's Eden. How that God worked for however long it was. And actually, the prophet, way he said it, and I like the way he said that, he said God didn't take 7,000 years, he took. There's a difference. Right? It didn't take Him that much. He could make it in a second, right? Just by His spoken word. But He took 7,000 years for patterns and types and things there for us to see, the numerology and so forth, right? And so we know that. And so to overcome in this Laodicean age, we have to overcome everything that pertains to that. And so Satan, he comes along and says, Satan's even that Satan has worked for 6,000 years. To perfect his kingdom, a fallen system, and that's exactly what he's done from the Garden of Eden to now. Satan has worked. You know, he's not a creator, so he has to just work with what he can, and he perverts. And his perversion for 6,000 years has brought us to what you see outside and what you deal with every day.
Yes,
and so he has created a world that is his Eden. We look at the Garden of Eden, and we realize that was a place where everything was good. Everything was like God wanted it. It was a place that God's family could live and enjoy and prosper and know evil and all that. Well, you know, when Satan comes along, he has a particular habitat that he can live in, right? And actually, you know, just like me, when we bought the land out there, we bought that and built a house. The work of my hand was to make a place that we could live,
right.
We could prosper, right. And we could grow, and so forth. Then you realize that when Satan would create his program and create a place that he just fits right in, and he's just so comfortable, he's just right at home, right at home in unbelief, right at home in a society that has put God out, a society that believes more in man's inventions and man's things than the promises of God's word. That's where Satan can live and prosper,
right?
That's his habitat. That's what he wanted, right? And that has become Eden. Satan's Eden.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where we are. But praise God, as it comes to mind right now, that the serpent came into God's Eden and disrupted the plan, right? That God would come in this last day and he would slip right down into Satan's Eden and destroy Satan's Eden. Amen. And so we thank God for that. We realize that the Lord is doing that. And so the things that we have to overcome is everything that Satan has worked so hard to get into place to make it hard to believe.
Right?
And he's the one that has caused the hybridization and the chemical treating of foods and it's breaking down our bodies and He's the one that has caused all the divorces and all the sin and the debauchery that you see. All those things that all these young people today have to deal with. Satan's the one that caused that.
Right.
Right? Because everything God puts in place only brings life and joy and happiness.
Right.
Right? But Satan, he put in a system That's the opposite of that. And so to overcome in Laodicea is just simply saying we are overcoming every device that Satan has thrown our way, right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, says the Lord.
Amen.
Right? We believe that.
That's right.
Right? And Satan don't want you to believe that. But I tell you, as we come here closer to the end time, and this thing is wrapping up,
yes, it is.
And we're moving into this place, this little series I've been doing, is I hope it's been doing you some good, because it's showing us exactly where we are in this timeline and this end time message.
Yeah.
And it is time. It is time for the sons of God to take hold of the promise of God and have their promised land.
Yeah.
So we're to overcome everything, just like as the parallel there of Joshua and children of Israel going in and taking that land. Nothing shall stand before you. No one can stand before you, right?
Amen.
And we're coming to that, right? But they, in order for them to come to that land, And not one enemy be able to stand before them. They couldn't have sin. They couldn't have that in their life. And remember, sin is unbelief. Because
right.
If you believe the right truth, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Doesn't, we're not talking about making mistakes.
Right.
We're talking about unbelief, sin.
Right.
And so we're coming into this place where as we move forward, the pathway of moving forward is to believe all of God's word that he has divvied out to us, because he's given us everything we need.
Right.
He has delivered to us all things that pertain to life and holiness and righteousness.
Yes.
He's brought to us a pathway where we can go forward, but that is only by believing his word and putting his word into action.
Right.
So to overcome Laodicea is to overcome all those things that Satan has put out here to hinder us.
Right.
Amen? You know, there were overcomers in every age. If you read to all the seven church ages, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh,
right.
to him that overcometh, every one of them, to him that overcometh.
Yes,
we just happened to read the phrase that was for our age.
Right.
Right? And in every age it said, you know, here's your battle, and if you overcome, then there's a blessing that comes from that. Right, if you can do this, then you'll have this. And if you can do that, you can overcome, you can have this. And so, what did he say to us? If you can overcome this age, guess what you get?
Yeah.
You get to sit with me in my throne.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother, sister, what could be more important than that?
Right? Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Amen.
Right.
I know over the years I've had bad bosses that their whole job, I'm sure, was to make my day bad.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, in the flesh, you want vengeance, and you want to rise up, and you want to say, you know. But listen, brother, sister, someday, right? Someday, all of those evil things that have hammered us so hard, they are going to be under our feet.
Yeah,
amen. Amen, we know that. And so the overcomers of this age get to sit with him in his throne. Now, you know, when you go and you're going to be sitting there in his throne, you can't have wrong ideas. You can't judge in God's kingdom with wrong ideas and false teaching.
Right.
So what does God have to do before he gets us there? What does he have to do? He has to bring to us the truth that Satan has fought for so long. He has to bring a restoration of those truths to us. And that changes us and puts us in a condition that in the body change. Now we can sit on that throne and we will have proper judgment.
Amen.
And every demon and every foul spirit and every situation that comes before us, we will have proper judgment upon that.
Right.
Why? Because we're sitting with him in his throne.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, can we believe God's word? Can we believe that the scripture is saying that this is exactly what comes to the overcomers of this age?
Yes.
This is what's coming.
Right.
And people can stick their head in the sand and they can deny this and deny that and say this and say that. Say God didn't send a prophet or say the Bible's not right or whatever. That don't change one thing.
That's right.
It's still the truth. God's going to have a people that's going to sit on his throne.
Man.
And they're not going to be ill-informed while they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'm trying to get you to understand is to believe the promise for your day and say, you know, because if you ask me and say, well, there's all kinds of situations I don't understand how to deal with, I don't know, that's fine. I know who does.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know, according to his word, that he's changing me From glory to glory, he's changing me, and he's getting me ready. And I know that when my body changes, I'll be in the condition I need to be in to sit in his throne with him. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not doing it, and neither are you.
Right?
But the best thing we can do is recognize what he's doing. Recognize it is him. We have to recognize that we can't do it. And lay our lives down and let him do it.
Amen.
What is the value of knowing that God is concerned about you and coming along and touching your life and changing things? That's pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And so, different ages had to overcome, and so every one of them did. There was a particular move of Satan in that day, and God would give them what they needed, and they could be overcomers to that age. And so, each age had a little different, I'll say it this way, each age had a little different stage of the fight.
Right.
Right? Well, there's only seven of these church ages, seven right here, come down to the end, and there's a seventh one. And so, you know, when we look at natural type spiritual, same God that created natural things, created spiritual things. And then the natural, it's survival of the fittest. That's right?
Amen, that's right.
I think it was yesterday, it might have been Friday evening. I was walking along in the backyard, come around the end of the house, and I heard a noise of something running. I looked, there was a great old big dog, and man, I mean, he was running, and he was right on the trail of a rabbit. Man, he was going to get that rabbit, you know, around the back, around that brush pile they went that I have behind the house there. And I seen the dog walking out by himself. The rabbit won!
Yeah.
The rabbit won!
Yeah, absolutely.
Or else he'd be dead. I look out, I have rabbits every year. There's dogs running wild out there, right? Coyotes, I think, run out at nighttime. You hear them sometime. Benjamin went out the other night, and I think they were close enough to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But there's rabbits out there.
Yeah.
I have to fight them out of my garden. You know why? Because they're overcomers. They are overcomers. Survival of the fittest. One wrong move, the dog gets them. One wrong move, the coyote gets them, right?
Right.
If it's that way in the natural, would it not be that way in the spiritual?
Right.
Right? In the spiritual, survival of the fittest. And I ask you this. When it's all over and done, who's going to be standing there? Satan or Jesus?
Jesus.
Huh? Jesus. Survival of the fittest.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. And so, he has come down to make us the fittest.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And I know that some people are offended by that, when we say, well, we believe that God is doing a work and we're gonna go in a rapture. Well, why don't you see yourself in the same thing?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right?
Self-identification. So there's been overcomers for every age, and in the dark ages, as the prophet said, we know this from history, that to make a mistake in the dark ages meant that you were martyred. Mm-hmm. Right? Which really wouldn't be a mistake, because that was, right?
Right.
And so, but today, it's different. Today, it's deception.
Right.
Today, what to overcome is deception.
Right.
And the most deceiving age of all the ages right now is the age of deception. Right. And it's interesting. I've said this many times, and, you know, you say things, and I don't know how much people go away with it. You're trusting that they catch the spirit that you're saying things in, of the Holy Spirit that would solidify these things. But the prophet said, in the God of this evil age, and he said it wasn't in Moses' time and other time, but it was in this day that Satan was titled by God the God of this evil age. And he said, and God has chosen in that day to take his bride and put her there and show that she's who she is.
Amen.
He's not, let's just take her and put her back here in something easy. And say, well, back here in Moses' day, we'll let you be the bride. No, he's going to take her right up here in this day of deception.
Amen.
And in
right.
that day of deception, place her right there and say, now watch this bride of mine come out clean.
Yeah. Amen.
See, that's what he's done, right? But he also said that he would not put her there where she would have to meet that hour of temptation and testing. She would not be put there to meet that just on denominational teaching.
No, that's right.
But she would come face to face with the Word.
Amen.
And then, you see, so you see how she overcomes. She overcomes this day by coming to an encounter with the Word. And then, not in the easy day, but in the hardest day of all of them, in the day of deception, that's where he places her.
Yeah.
Amen? Can we believe his word?
Yeah,
that he's going to have that bride that's without spot or blemish.
Right.
Right? She will be that invincible army. Amen. Doesn't mean she hadn't fell, but it means she gets up and keeps going.
Right.
Keeps going. And when it's all over and done with, she's left standing.
Amen.
And Satan's not.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I could imagine why Satan would get so mad. Because he's not a creator. But yet God would have children that would have his gene in them.
Amen.
And that they would have that because of genetic tie, that at some day spoken creative word manifest in their life.
Right.
And Satan's standing back on steaming because he wants it and he can't have it.
That's right.
But God freely gives it to his children.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But only after a testing time.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen. That's right.
They have to be proved. And so it's a day of deception. And so no matter how hard people try, no matter how hard churches try, systems try, governments try, how much you try, you cannot overcome this age without the word.
Amen. That's right.
Without believing the right thing, without having that real word come to you and change you so that now you act differently. Now you address situations in your life differently. That means that you begin to act like God would act.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That you would begin to address situations in your life, not so much physical and arguing and fighting and all that, but you would reach down into that God attribute, that thing that's connected to that ability to believe and speak and send forth a word that would accomplish it, that would go out into a realm where we don't even see and know that it's fighting and slaying devils. Right?
Yes, hallelujah.
That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Coming to that place. And so no matter how hard we try, we cannot overcome if we don't believe the right thing. If we in this last day are not been touched by the word that has come, a restoration of all things, we cannot be overcomers.
Yes, praise God. Right.
Amen. Yes. We know this is the final age because he said to this age that when it's all over and done with, you're going to sit with me on the throne.
Yes.
There's only seven, as I said a while ago. And if you look at the text there to the next to the last age, he said to them, he said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come on the earth. Well, if that was the sixth age and they weren't going to deal with it, five ages has already passed.
Yeah.
And the sixth one, he says, I'm not going to let you go through that. Then there's only one age left for that hour of temptation. And that's where we are.
That's where we're at.
This is it.
Yep.
That God would allow Satan to do things. And remember, way back around the 1900s and the teens and 20s. Remember, years ago we talked about that things came up out of the bottomless pit and things were loosed on the earth and was allowed to take place that had been held up for a long time, right? And so here we are. We're in that hour where Satan has been allowed to move in,
right?
Right? I'm ready to take it. And he's coming in with all his Eden, with all his devices. And
yes,
he thinks he's gonna get it. And to a person without a revelation, look back at that and say, there's no hope, there's no way that Christians can come out on top because Satan's been allowed to get things so far underneath his reaches. But God lets that happen just so he can defeat him that much more.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Amen. We know that. We believe that.
Right.
And so we know that this is the last age. You know, when you go through school, 12 grades or whatever, you don't graduate until you hit the 12th grade. Then you get your diploma. When you get that diploma, that means that you've passed first, second, third, all the way up. You've passed everyone. That means that you could be given a test at that time on first grade stuff, you'd pass it. On fifth grade stuff, you'd pass it. On seventh grade stuff, you'd pass it. Right?
Right.
When you graduate, that means you've got. So that means here we are over here at the last day and we're getting ready to graduate.
That's That's it.
And that means when we graduate, we're going to understand the truth about justification with Luther and holiness and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit. And you see me?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That we've got to come to a place where we come to that wisdom of God. Remember how the gospel started out with the apostles going out preaching it. They were the feet, you know, and the legs.
Yeah.
How that the body come on up through the vital organs. It was coming, talking about how we come up through the ages.
Yeah.
Finally come all the way up into the tongues, Pentecostal movement, tongues.
Yeah, right?
And then after the tongues was a prophet, a seer.
Yep.
And then after that, the only thing left after that is the intellect, the revelation, the understanding of God's word. Well, if we're sitting over here and we're wanting to take that throne, but all we've got is these previous, maybe Luther, that's all we've got, or maybe all we've got is Wesley, and all we know is tongues.
Yep.
We've not come to the intellect, the revelation.
Yeah.
Of God, then see, we're not ready to graduate.
Right.
But when you graduate, all things are under your belt.
Amen.
There has been a restoration of truth to His people when that time comes. Amen?
Yes.
So it's just the whole Bible just comes together and all that just fits. And there we are. We've reached that time.
Right.
Amen. If you notice, and I'm saying this because the prophet took the time to point this out. I don't know why this thing's popping so much. I have it where I always have it. If it's not bothering me, it won't bother you. If it's bothering you, it bothers me. Amen? But Brother Graham made the point to point this out. He said, did you notice that it says there in that scripture that we were speaking of, reading there in Revelation chapter 3, it says, did you notice it says in His throne, not on His throne? Right? See, like on His throne would be like on a seat.
Right?
But He said, it says in His throne, and a king rules in His domain.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So a king might sit on His throne, but His power reaches to the ends of His kingdom.
Right.
So Brother Evans said, see, not on the throne, but in the throne.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
the motions.
Yeah.
In the entire reach of His domain, right?
Yeah,
so everything in that domain that is underneath Him, then we get to sit in His throne, ruling in His throne over all things. And when the prophet said this, and he said, what is the reaches of His domain? It's from eternity to eternity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Oh my, what has God done that He could take sinful creatures like us and do something that would change us and take away our sins and make us justified as though we never did it in the first place, to stand before Him in complete righteousness and holiness, and not only do that, but change our thinking and our being such that He can say, now you are worthy. You have what it takes to help rule over my domain that reaches from eternity to eternity. In other words, all through time, everything between there is all underneath you believers. Amen. Underneath you believers. We believe that. So, how far does the authority of the believer reach in this end time? How far did, well, we just said from eternity to eternity. But did you know the scripture said, don't you know that you will judge the earth? Don't you know you will judge the angels? I've always thought, well, there's no need for us to judge. And if I make a mistake here, God knows, no need for us to judge angels that never fell.
Right?
I look at that and I see that being the fallen angels.
Right.
The devils.
Yes.
Demons.
Yes.
Evil, foul spirits.
Right.
Whether they look like alley-oop or whoever, whatever they look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so, our authority reaches all the way to the place where we'll judge the earth and we'll judge angels. This is what God has done. You know, it's interesting to me that if God is the author of salvation, if He made it possible for us to be saved, then I don't think I'm wrong on this, I think that we have to come the way he lays it out then. If we want access to his salvation, then we have to come the way he lays it out and says, here's how you have access to my salvation. Right? And it seems strange to me that people would come along and say, yeah, God is the author of salvation, and the way we get there is by the way this people over here says we're going to get there. It's not that way at all.
No.
It's by his word.
That's right.
That's how we get there.
Right.
Amen. And so that's why the prophet said so many times, God will not judge the earth by the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church.
No.
He won't even judge them by spirit and truth assembly.
No,
but
right.
What he will judge them by is his word.
Right?
Exactly
right?
And so if we're going to sit on that throne, then guess what? Guess what program is running through our mind? You can take a computer and you can run a program on that you can use to design cars or to plant a garden or whatever.
Right?
Right? Our being can be used for all kinds of things. But the program that will be running in the believer's system, if you understand what I'm saying, will be proper judgment of all the ages. That's why the prophet said that people would come up in that. People in our day would come up and in the resurrection in judgment there and come and stand before him and have to give an account. At least, can we believe the word? People are going to have to give account to God.
Yes.
They're going to stand there and maybe if they would say, well, you know, I didn't know your gospel, that the Lord would stand and he would turn and look to his believers like a group of bleachers that are standing there. And he would say, and he would turn to them and say, didn't you tell them? And somebody in those bleachers would say, I told them, I sealed it. I sealed my blood with the testimony of my blood telling them the truth. Right? So what you understand is when people rise, they'll be judged by the word, but they'll be judged by the word they encountered by believers.
Right? Yes.
Funny? We are responsible to how we respond to the word that is lived in our day by the people we rub shoulders with. They're judged by, but you understand?
Right.
Jesus said that generation, his day, that the Queen of Sheba would rise up and judge that generation because she went to see all the things of Solomon, the move of God, and yet here was one greater than Solomon, and they wouldn't even walk across the street to hear him hardly. Right?
Right.
That generation, they're going to come up in the judgment, and they're you know, oh, what's going to happen here? And all of a sudden, here comes this Queen of Sheba over, and she stands up there in the testimony box, and the Lord says, what about it? A greater than Solomon was in your midst.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do a thing about it. But look what she did. She traveled across the desert.
Amen.
I did the calculation. It was billions of dollars worth of gold that she had in our day of prices.
Yep.
Crossed there 3 or 4 months or whatever to go and see if this was really God. Is it really God?
Amen.
See, that's what she went for. Is it God?
Yep.
And she found out that it was, and she came prepared to give it all, give full blessing to it. And so, what I'm getting at is that every one of us, see, and the people around us, the people that I work with, they're going to have to stand and answer to how they responded to the word expressed through my life or any other believer's life.
Yeah.
Says the Bible. Can't get around it.
Right?
Right. Unbelief will not stop it. It's coming like a freight train. So the best thing for people to do is to take heed how you interact with the word that's presented to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. So her authority goes all the way as she comes from eternity to eternity. Just think about it. I mentioned it a while ago, but just think about it. These evil spirits that hound you every day.
Yes.
All these spirits that try to get you to fall and fail and cause you to doubt and think you're not worth anything and you have no future and this and that and all that. Every one of those evil spirits are going to come before you someday. Standing there arrayed in white apparel. In that position of authority. And those evil things will come up before you. That's when God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay it. That's when he's going to pay it. Right?
Amen.
And you get to be involved in that. Amen.
Right.
So a lot of these spirits that come upon people and come at us and so forth, a lot of people, they become, those evil spirits become a companion to people because they're liars. It's a lie. It's right. A lie. They're not telling you that they're there to destroy your life, but they do. That's what they're there for.
Right.
And so,
right.
But that'll all be revealed, and they'll stand there and be shaking in their boots. We'll say it that way.
Amen.
So this is what God has done to overcome the old Laodicean age. We have to come to this kind of a revival.
Right.
It's not a revival of necessarily shouting, screaming, running, and all that, but it is a revival of coming to the understanding of the character of Christ and his ability to judge. So God said he would bring a restoration. We don't want to gloss over this. God said he would bring a restoration in his word.
Amen.
He said, I will send you Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
Right? Jesus said, truly Elijah shall come and restore all things. Right? Can we believe God's word? Is that going to happen? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God,
right,
in his program, is sending that spirit to bring a restoration. I don't care if every other church outside of this church in the world disagrees with that. God said, I will send Elijah the prophet to bring a restoration. So God's going to do it, right? And I believe he's already doing it, right?
Amen.
Already.
That's right.
Right? See, what I'm trying to show you, we got to believe God's word. It's Satan's job to come along and make us doubt, to make people come and spin this way, spin that. It's his job to do all that. But nevertheless, truth is truth, and when we get into sync with that truth, you'll see the fruit of that truth proving that it is his truth.
Amen.
Remember, to this age, the attribute he came to express to this age was a faithful and true witness. What's he coming to witness? What's he coming to be faithful to? He's coming to fulfill every word,
right,
and testify to the truth, right?
Right.
That is to be expected in this age. As Christ would appear in the messenger of this age, he would be here to bring us to the understanding that he is faithful. He's here doing exactly what he said we do, regardless of what people think. And he's testifying with a true witness, a witness to his word, a true witness to read those names on that book, to open those seals. A true witness, right? In other words, making God's program here at the end time finish up, come to pass. So he said, I'll do that. I will send that restoration. He showed us in the Old Testament how Elijah was used to bring a restoration to Israel. And so he's going to use it again. And here at the end time where God said in Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. Bring a restoration.
Right.
Come out of her, my people. Aren't you glad he said my people?
Hey.
Right?
Right.
I'm glad he said my people. You know when he said, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Behold, I will send you. He didn't say, I'll send Elijah the prophet. I'll send you.
Hallelujah.
Right? So that means you can put your name there.
Right.
I will send to you, to Sister Mary. I will send Elijah the prophet to Sister Mary, to Brother Tim,
yeah,
to Brother Ben, Sister Lisa, Sister Hannah, and the rest of you. I will send him. And what I'm trying to say is that this personal, present coming of God through this end time ministry.
Right.
We each one have to receive it. We have to receive it as individuals. That restoration, that interaction, because it's Christ.
Hallelujah.
That interaction comes and changes each one of us.
Yes.
Right? An encounter to change us as individuals. To change you. Behold, I send you.
Amen.
So if we want to be restored to all things that was lost. And all this is typed in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, when everybody could return back to what they had lost and to get their family and all that. You see, different types of things there, how God is bringing us back to everything that Satan took from us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. I often think, many times, I look at these little babies, and I've done this for years. I see little babies, they're so sweet, and they get up and they're 2 or 3 years old and just so sweet. I'm thinking, these people out here on death row started out like that.
Yeah.
They started out precious. How did they go from that to being a killer and a murderer and a robber? Something went wrong.
Yep.
Right? God is a redeemer. God is a restorer. Such would be all of us. But God will come and he will bring us back and restore us to that innocence that we had. Right? Restore us back to what was ours to begin with. I'm not trying to tell you to make you a baby anymore, but he will take you back to that position of standing before God with clean hearts. Amen. So he said, I would do this. Come out of her, my people. Amen. And that's exactly what he's done. So, overcomers for this day take what God has restored and they use that to overcome with. Can't get there any other way. You have to receive that restoration effort from God to restore you, to change you, to get you where you can. It can't come any other way.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's never been recorded in history that, you know, we read in the Bible how the prophets did different things, you know, that the different mighty acts that they would do. Even the things of Jesus when he stood there and he discerned the thoughts of the people's hearts and so forth. We saw that. That happened to, you know, when Samuel spoke there, and that was just to a small group of people. That was just, the things that God did there in that nation, and Jesus to the people that was there, and a woman at the well and all that. But until our day, it had never, that supernatural gift of God and the discernment, the word of the Lord like that, has never been displayed in any day in the magnitude like it has in our day. That a man can stand before thousands of people,
yes,
and over the course of 30 some odd years, thousands, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
A million saw it, but perhaps tens of thousands experienced it coming through the prayer line, that a man can stand there and do those things. And we know a man can't do that. It has to be God.
Right. Exactly.
Right. To stand there and do those things and it be recorded.
Yes.
It'd be recorded on audio and even a little bit on video.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What I'm trying to show you is we've come to a special time, a special junction of time in history,
right,
where we've come to the place where God said, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to show this sign to the Son of Man. I'm going to do it in such a way that it can, that it cannot be refuted. It'll be recorded. You'll be able to hear exactly what was said and when it was said, and there are going to be some videos of it like that. And though the critics will always rise up, no matter what, they will, but I'm going to document it in such a way that in their own technologies and in their own day, it's a record right there showing that I've done what I said I was going to do.
Amen.
I come here and I am a faithful and true witness, and I've done it in such a way that is well documented in their own ways, right? That just came, didn't come. What if he'd have come 100 years earlier? Most people wouldn't have known it.
Right.
Right? It wouldn't have reached like it did. But now we got the technology and it's around the world. There may not be, probably not, because we're not much, but right now someone in Africa could be listening to us.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
Right? And or later on, and maybe tonight or whatever, from playback or whatever. But so you understand, God brought it to a day, and it cannot be refuted. They can say whatever, but I've told you, I've looked at it with my own eyes and read it myself and went through it. The Encyclopedia of Charismatic Movements, and they testify themselves to this ministry, how powerful it was. You can look up the videos of different ministers on television evangelists right now, and they'll tell you how that they sat in those meetings, they saw God move through that man's life, and it inspired them into ministry. Mm-hmm. Right? Even their own testimonies telling you.
Yep.
And I'm showing you, we've come to a special time in history.
Amen.
Where God is doing these things, doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
Amen. Right.
Bringing a restoration. These things cannot be refuted. So can we take God at his word? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is the kind of ministry it came through, because this restoration could not be just some little something in the corner. Maybe somebody the Spirit of the Lord come on somebody and they say something right and it comes to pass, you know, one to left, you know, like that, and maybe a few people see it, that's it. No, this was a worldwide ministry. Because it was not just going to be to Israel, it was going to be to all the nations. So it had to wait until, right? Till technology and things and travel could be done. So it could get to the world. Amen. That's the kind of ministry it came through. So overcomers today, as the prophet said, well, you got to overcome yourself. Right? And you overcome the deception of this age and how Satan tricks people and using human nature and so forth to overcome them. We have to overcome ourselves from the deception of the age.
Right.
We do this by putting into action what God has restored. So these truths that can give us the ability to stand and properly discern and properly, rightfully divide the word of truth. See, when the scripture says that, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, he need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not just for ministry now, right?
No.
You understand? It's not just ministry. Every member of the bride of Christ that sits in that throne,
Amen.
Right? Every one of them,
Amen.
Will be able to have proper judgment, right? Because it's something God's right. doing. Amen. But we reach this place by what God has done, and we overcome by putting into action the things that God has done. This is the parallel of taking the promised land, the adoption. That's why the prophet came along and said this is paralleling adoption, the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians where he begins to tell us where we come from. That from the foundation of the world, we were predestinated to this position. And so when we're talking about coming to adoption, We cannot, as sons, we read there, though he be Lord of all, he's no different than a servant, right? Until he's placed into adoption by his father, right? And so that son, when he gets to that place, though he's worked hard, he's out in the field doing the sweat just like the servants do, but once he has reached that maturity level, by the tutors, and the father says, hey, how's everything going? He's just like you. Okay, now we're gonna place him in power. That son now has to have a shift in his thinking. He has to stop thinking like a servant and start thinking like a son. Right? He has to start thinking like a son that knows what he has ability to do, knows that he has authority to do it, not afraid to do it. Not afraid that he'll make a mistake, because the father's already worked into him through the tutor, already got into him the character that it takes. Father's not worried anymore. He's not worried that if I put him in power, he'll make a mistake. Can you see that? Can you understand it? God bringing his people to a place here at the end that when he begins to place them, that he's not concerned with what you're going to do, because he's put enough in you to make sure it's right.
Amen.
Right? And only a predestinated people who are sons get access to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Amen. So it's him doing it. He's not concerned. But that child has to come to the place where, and it's important. Before he can come to that place where he's in authority, he needs to suffer the things that the servants suffer. I've always said, a man that's going to be a manager over people, he really needs to have done the job and come up through the ranks,
right.
And he knows what it's like.
Right.
Right? Right? And so, and it's in God's program. He has to go through and act and be at, and go through. In other words, if you're going to rule and reign over people and make judgments and all that, you got to know what it's about.
Right.
So we have to come through these things, but then character develops in us that he puts in there, and then we can rightfully discern. And rule and reign right. over those things. Amen. And so we have to stop thinking like a servant, begin to think like a son. And Jesus saying a friend, because we'll say that this has been given to us. This is what I'm talking about. It's been given to us to start thinking like a son and not a servant. Jesus said
right.
that I call you not servants anymore. I'm going to call you sons, because I have given to you everything Father. God, I have shown you everything. Right? What is the mark? What is the mark to show that you're not servants anymore, but you're sons? When he shows you everything from the Father. When he brings a restoration of his word. When he restores the truths that were lost. When he shows you who you are. See, when he begins to deliver that kind of information into your experience, you're leaving being a servant, moving into sonship.
Amen.
Follow me?
Right.
So we know we're in that stage now because God has brought a restoration of his word. It's in process now.
Amen.
People receiving it. So we know we're here. So we can't think like a servant anymore. When the children of Israel came out, they came out of Egypt, and Egypt was still in them, and they still wanted to go back to Egypt. See?
Yep.
We can't be like that. We have to come into the revealing of this word, into the truth of this word, and never want to go back to something less.
Amen.
Come into maturity. I do not want to go back and be a kid anymore.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the youth that I had back then, but with the wisdom I have now.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, they say youth is wasted on the young. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't design it that way. We come with a blank slate, and we have to go through all that to get to this.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Right. And I think God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. So we come to the place where we can carry out this authority. And I know Brother Branch said we don't have, he said we don't have power, but we do have authority. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we come to this, we come to the place where we can and we must carry out this authority. This is where we are.
Amen.
We can't go back in the wilderness anymore. Can't we? We're tired of wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched what happens to those who turn their back on the word.
Amen.
We've seen those things happen, and we've had to endure the hardships of this journey for all these years throughout the message. And we've come to the place now where we realize we cannot go back. We're not going to drive around in these circles anymore. It is time to go over, and that's the cry in the heart of God's people, and the only way that happens is to take what he's given and begin to put it into action.
Amen.
Amen. I was telling someone at work this week, I said, Brother Graham preached that sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ.
Yeah.
I said, the very next night he preached works is faith expressed.
Yeah.
And if you take the first letter of it, of each one of those words, works is faith expressed is wife, W-I-F-E. Invisible union. Now, what does a wife do? A wife, right? He said, if you have faith, show me your faith by your words.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If a wife really loves her husband, she will do things for him.
Yeah.
She will try to please him. She will cook his, you know, whatever. You understand?
Right.
Right? So, there was an invisible union, and now you got to get up and do something. As the scripture said in James, that faith without works is dead.
Yep.
So works is faith expressed. Wife.
Yep.
What am I saying? We've come to the time to go over.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? By putting into action.
Amen.
What God has restored, the wisdom and the truth. We are supposed to exercise ourselves to godliness, right? And so it's something we should do every day. We should be spiritually exercising our spiritual muscles.
Amen.
And then keeping them fit. Amen. And so, just like the children of Israel, he said, you know, you're going out into this promised land, take these. Well, I've given this to you. And he's saying, you go out there and fight the enemy, and I'll give you the victory. In other words, you go out there. From cartoons and stuff, you know, just the way I picture my mind or whatever. But you go out there and you grab that enemy by the neck and you draw back. And when you do, my spirit will come down into you and do the blow.
Yeah.
But you've got to position yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to take my word and say, it is written.
Amen.
Right? It is written. It is written.
Amen.
He did it when he was here. It is written. You've got to do that. And when you do that, then he says, now, let me do the punch.
Yeah.
See,
right.
You're not doing it, but you've got to act it out.
Right.
Right? So you've got to say, Satan, you are a liar. You cannot have my people. You cannot have my children. You can't. You are.
Right.
Why? Because the word says it.
Amen.
right? By his stripes I'm healed. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so you can never defeat the enemy unless you go out there and make contact with him.
Yeah, right.
You've got to make contact with that enemy to destroy him. You cannot leave the sword laying there and just say, yeah, the sword says, the sword, you know, right? No, pick it up and swing it at that dude and watch his head fly. Right.
Right?
That's what you have to do. And we can't go any further until we start doing that.
Amen.
Right? But I can assure you, not me, but his word, I can assure you that if you start doing that, if you put this word on your lips, right? You will see the enemy. You will see things that we've wanted for years and prayed for years. You will see God begin to bring those things to pass because he has promised it. So he's kind of just sitting there waiting to see what we do. Think about Joshua. In that phase of what we're talking about, and he was able to say, "Sun, stand still." Amen? Sun, stand still. And it did. Amen? So, that's where we are. God gives us the victory, but we've got to position ourselves and speak it. Amen? And you're like, oh, I'm afraid if I say that, it won't happen. Is it his word or not? Can we take God as his word?
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Right.
Because he just read, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that he'll give it to you.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's a position for somebody to move into.
Yeah,
the whatsoever. And you're like, well, I'm afraid I'd ask for the wrong thing. Not when you get to this thing I'm talking. Not when you let this word transform your mind.
Yeah.
Would you move into that day? Then you don't have to worry about it. Because God's not worried about it. He's done the work. And so you don't have to worry about it. Just know that as you move out and act out according to his word, that God will come and take care of those things.
Amen.
Amen. And so he gives you the victory.
Right.
Amen. He lets Satan do things to make it look like, as I said a while ago, let Satan do things and make it look like there's no way. But he's only doing that just so that the giant can hit the ground that much harder when he falls.
Yeah, right.
Because God is not going to be mocked. Right?
Yeah.
And so we know this word's going to come to pass. And this comment I'm about to make, kind of make people feel uncomfortable, whatever, but it's the truth that America is going to be destroyed. We know that. I work with people that aren't even believers, and they know that they say that. They know. Because if you know that God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire because of what they were doing, then they have to do the same thing. And we know that the prophet had those visions of America blown up. Right? And all those other visions that come to pass.
Right.
So why would we believe this one's not? And it's with the word. We see the word says, hey, this is what's coming to a people that's done what we've done. You know, and so, and I, you know, I'm like, well, I don't know how all this is going to pan out, but those missiles are coming, you know. Well, I seen last night, and I don't know when he did it, I just saw it last night, where President Trump announced that they're putting in this golden dome over the United States. As he said, far sophisticated beyond anything else that anybody's got, including us, what we've had thus far, a system that will put they show a picture of a golden dome over the entire United States, and according to his words, that no missile, even these supersonic ones that change the trajectory that you can't get in front of and shoot them down and all that, he said that none of those things can get through. He said, you saw what happened in Israel, that maybe 500 of those missiles come in there and only one got through. And he said, this system we're putting in place is even far more in advance than that. I think we gave that to them. But he's like, and I'm sitting there going, he's saying that this judgment can't happen. He's saying that they're putting a system in place, and he said, we believe we'll be done with it in the next 3.5 years. By the time I leave office, this system will be in place. We've already got money, $25 billion to get it started. Everybody is just all behind it. We have no problem. It's going to be like $185 billion. This is what I said last night.
I
And he said, yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, this judgment either has to come before they put that in place, or that system's going to fail.
Yeah, right.
But you see, don't be fooled with what happens out there. It's his word.
Yeah.
It's going to be just like he said.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly right.
And so,
matter what.
Hey, let's look down the road where the end is. Mm-hmm. Let's prepare for what the end is. What is your end going to be? You're not going to be in your flesh body forever. Someday, you will leave it.
Right.
Where will you be?
Yeah.
Prepare for that. Mm-hmm. Hey, God wants you to be happy in this life, and the happiest life you could live is a life filled with the Holy Ghost, where God is leading you and guiding you. You go through trials, you have the same car breakdowns as everybody else, but you're happy.
Right?
You're happy. Right? And you know where your end is. You know where you're coming. Amen. That's what I told State Trooper yesterday. I said, hey, everything's all right between me and the Lord. I ain't worried about that. That's what I told him. State Trooper, I didn't get pulled over. I went to school with him, and I seen him in Bronx. Okay, he's a survey. No, it's Tony. Brother Tony got it. And so, but anyway, I told him. I said, hey, everything's all right between me and the Lord. I ain't worried about that. But this world is going crazy.
Right.
He sees it.
Yeah.
He said, man, people can't even just agree to disagree anymore.
Yeah.
If they disagree, you got to kill somebody. That's
right.
What they want to do.
Uh-huh.
Didn't the prophet say that they were insane and it was getting worse and worse?
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
Right.
Right? People would do things that even that you wouldn't think an animal would do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said these things. How is it that this prophet spoke all these things about all this, and yet here we stand and people don't think that wasn't nothing, and here we are, we're just walking into every day of what he was saying.
Yeah, well, exactly.
See?
That's right.
Because when you're under a different cloud, a different atmosphere of Satan, you don't see those things. I've seen it. I've seen people be under an anointing, a cloud of whatever, and speak the word to them, and then come out of that, and they'd say they're a totally different person and totally with a totally better environment. And you see what's happened because you've got them out of that cloud of that influence of those evil things, right? And of course, Find that house empty, swept, and garnished, then go back to it.
Uh-huh.
Get the Holy Ghost in your life.
Amen. That's
and you'll be happy.
Yes, sir. Right. Amen.
You'll be happy. You'll go through trials, troubles, Satan throw everything in the world at you, but you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Because you know your God.
Amen.
Amen. Golden Dome.
Amen. Wow.
So God allows things to get into a place where it looks like the word ain't going to come to pass. So everybody look back and say, oh, see, we're putting the stiff in place and it's going to stop every missile and everything. You know, so that prophecy failed.
Uh-huh.
Well,
no.
I don't know if to say fortunately or unfortunately. When we get on the other side of it and look back to see, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But like the brother just said there, you know, how close are we? If they say they're going to put this in place, and they're probably going to put it in place in stages. Within the next 3.5 years, well, how close are we?
Yeah.
If it happens like that.
Yeah.
But I know that their technology can fail.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. When God fought for Israel in the Six-Day War or whatever it was, and they had things happening that they said, the Muslims said, but what happened? God fighting for it.
Hey.
Right? And God has promised to fight for his people like he did in the days of battle.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Can we expect that?
Yeah.
We expect that in our lives. I expect that we're coming to a body change to see victories, chains fall off, people's lives changed, coming on up into this word.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. That's what I see. Amen.
Oh,
we want to prepare for the end. Let's read St. John chapter 16, verse 22, and then we'll make a final comment and let you go. St. John chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. We're coming to this place, saints. Can you let God get you there?
Amen.
Amen? Jesus is about to leave them, and this is what he's saying. He said, now therefore ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away.
Amen. Right.
They were sorrowful because he was going to have to go away and be right. He said, I'm going to come again. I'll see you again. And in that day, joy is going to fill your heart, and no one can take that away from you.
Amen.
That which I'm going to do, no man can take away. Amen. And he says, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Uh-huh. Look at this. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
Amen.
Now look at this. I'm going to try to show you. So Jesus is here. He's God in flesh.
Yep.
And he's acting out sonship. And that son has to be in unity with the Father.
Right.
Right? And that son is he's going out and he's doing the Father's business and he's doing all these things and pleasing to the Father. Right? And so, you know, all the things that go with that. And so, now Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing so you can see what I want you to get out of this. He said, now, I got to leave here. And you're sorrowful because I'm here with you. But believe me, what's coming is going to be better. I have to leave here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this office of sonship, and I'm going to go back to the Father to be that pillar of fire.
Amen.
I'm going back to Father. I'm going back to that office. And when I do that, that's going to leave a vacancy here for sonship, and that's where you're going to be. You're going to be.
Amen. Yeah.
You're going to be son.
Yep.
Right? And in that day, you're not going to have to ask me, Jesus, the man.
Right.
Right? You'll be asking the Father, which is where I've returned to. You'll be asking the Father, and whatsoever you ask him, because you're now in sonship, now you're going to ask him, you're going to be talking, you're going to be in unity with the Father, doing the everything, right? Right?
Yes.
See, and in that day, and that's a day that no man can take away your peace. That's a day that no enemy can stand before you.
That's right, man.
Oh, amen. Yeah. That's this day. Amen.
Praise God.
That's this day.
Yes.
Amen. We just thank the Lord for all that he's done.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. We'll pray and maybe sing a song here just for a moment and I'll let you go. You love him?
Amen.
Amen.
Situated here.
Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How thankful we are for your word. Lord, we would be totally just no place to turn without it. Lord, you've promised to bring clarity to these things here at the end time, and we love you for it. We know, God, that you've not left us here to just be groping around in darkness, but you have lit our pathway. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to do that for everyone, Lord, each one hearing this sound of my voice. Lord, that you just begin to open up the pathway for them. May they begin to see the accuracy of the sonship that you're ushering into them. Lord, we just want to give honor and praise to you. We recognize in ourselves we are nothing, but Lord, when we take up the position that you have ordained for us, then Lord, we believe that's something to be reckoned with because that's you in us doing it. Lord, these things are marvelous in our eyes, and we want to run well, Lord. We want to just to surrender ourselves to you in such a way that you have no problems acting out anything you want acted out in our lives. Lord, I want to thank you for this little group. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are missing today as they're traveling and visiting and doing the different things. Lord, I pray these, as Elijah mentioned in his prayer there, Lord, that they'd be rejuvenated. Lord, you'd bring them home safely. But Lord, I thank you for each one of them, those present, those that aren't. This little body, Lord, I just ask for your blessings upon each one. Lord, I know that the enemy's been fighting against them, but Lord, we already declare the victory as yours.
Amen.
We don't know exactly how it'll happen, how it will unfold, but we know, Lord, victory is ours.
Amen.
And Lord, we have placed our loved ones and our children, our grandchildren, we've placed them, Lord, under the blood of Jesus Christ. We have placed your blood between them and their enemy. And so, Lord, we speak it. We believe it. We pull for it. We move toward it. Lord, in every way as a vision before us, as we're looking to it, we're moving to that direction, Lord, because that's the promise that you've given us. And it is for your glory, Lord, not to the lifting up of any man, but, Lord, just to glorify your name and your redemption and the finishing thereof. We love you, Lord. We're asking for these blessings to each one in Jesus' name. Amen. We love it.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 766. I'm going to try and sing this. My hope is in the Lord.
Brother Tony, can I just say something just before you sing?
Sure.
Just to add on to what you were saying, it just came to me real strong. You know what our little brother said up there in that meeting? That last prophecy to be fulfilled that Brother Branham saw was smoldering craters from coast to coast, this United States. No matter what they think they can put over this United States, I believe he said when the first bomb, before the first bomb falls,
we'll be gone.
We'll be gone.
That's right.
So whatever they want to think they're going to create, put over this, he saw it. Yep. It's already been prophesied. It's already been spoken. And that coast is going in.
Oh, my. Amen.
Amen.
California.
Yep.
Standing all